Welcome back, everyone, to Constructive Uncoupling, the podcast devoted to amicable divorces. I'm Judy Weigel, your host and amicable divorce expert. Why? Because that's all I do, amicable divorces. So in the big scheme of trying to find as much content for everybody so that you can have the best divorce possible, it may not seem like that at the beginning, but it can be, and that's always my goal working with all of you. So you've heard judges, lawyers, therapists, authors, but I'm going to do a little series on self-care now, and we're going to start with our guest today, Jen Trepig. Jen, welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Okay. I love your voice totally. You always sound excited. So this is going to be great for all of us. Now, let me just tell everybody, the reason why I know Jen is because she has this phenomenal, unbelievable, terrific podcast called Salad with a Side of Fries. Not only, Jen, is that the most creative name for a podcast I've ever heard, but it's one of my favorite meals.
Me too. So thank you. And that's probably why we get along, because, you know, that's our first meal choice.
That is our first meal choice. This is great. So I know, Jen, that it's probably your contention that there's nothing different about eating healthy regularly versus eating healthy for divorce. But I kind of contend a little bit differently. I contend that people are so filled with stress.
Yes.
That they have to choose foods appropriate for that sustained level of emotion because they have to make decisions. Amidst their emotion, they have to make decisions. So we kiddingly talked about putting together the divorce diet. So let's call it the divorce diet. The diet isn't all. We also have to talk about exercise. So first question out, can you just explain to our audience, when somebody's under stress, what's going on inside of their bodies?
Yes, and I'm so glad you asked this, and it's that's why this is so challenging and, you know, it requires extra attention and extra help. So the stress response of our body is exactly the same as cavemen days, right? So we were hunters and gatherers. Stress at the time was life-threatening. It was, you're being chased by a saber-toothed tiger, flee or fight, right? Fight or flight. So we're either running from this tiger to save our life or mustering all of our energy and strength to fight it. What happens chemically in the body to make that happen? Cortisol is released. Cortisol triggers norepinephrine. And that allows our body to have the strength, right? Every ounce of our being is going to fueling our muscles to run, our brain to outsmart the saber-toothed tiger that's chasing you so that you can either hide or figure out how to get away from it, right? And then stress in that time, you eventually either die because the tiger caught you, God forbid, or you outrun it or hide and it passes and the stressor passes and we breathe a sigh of relief, right? And that stress response starts to calm down, right? Now those inhibitory neurotransmitters, the ones that help calm us down, like the serotonin, can come into play. The challenge now, and this is what you're getting at, is our stressors are prolonged. Right? They're no longer acute. Acute would be short-lived. There's the tiger immediately and eventually it passes, right? We're not being chased till the end of time.
That's right. But in divorce, the saber-toothed tiger is the process itself.
Right.
And if you haven't made peace with your soon-to-be ex-spouse, your spouse, and if you have to go to court with hearings and trials, the court process, it's a lot.
It's a lot. And that doesn't even account for all of the extra everyday regular things that you're now trying to do as a single person and adjusting to this new way of life. Like everything is different. Everything requires a different kind of thought process. And so when that happens, it's literally like every moment cortisol is being sent out into our body and triggering the stress response. And what happens in that is that in order to fuel the fight or flight, our body shuts down everything that it doesn't need for survival. Well, what doesn't our body need in that moment of fight or flight? Doesn't need our metabolism, doesn't need our immune system, doesn't need our reproductive system. So all of these other things that typically happen in the body essentially turn off during the stress response. So when that is prolonged, because our stressors now are mental and emotional and constant, we're constantly in this place of our body not functioning for health, but for survival. And that's why we crave the sugar and the caffeine and all of these things, because our body in that moment of stress is looking for fast fuel. Fast fuel is sugar and things that it doesn't have to break down, right? So all of these things, it's chemical that you crave those foods.
Okay, hold on a second. This is very interesting, because how does our body know that sugar and caffeine will be fast fuels?
So sugar, carbohydrates are the ideal form of fuel for the body, right? We don't have to break them down. There's no fiber. There's little nutrients that require our body to absorb it. So it's processed very quickly and goes to our system. So when our body needs fuel, when we get super hungry, that's why it's much more appealing to look for Skittles, right? Because it's fast fuel. That's what gets our brain and our body energy the fastest.
Is it just that we know that because we've lived long enough that we know what our body's reaction is?
It's not conscious. It's chemical in the body. We don't think to breathe. It's the same thing.
Okay. So cortisol.
Yes.
Is that what we're aiming to deal with when we look at what we should be eating to calm us down?
It's a combination. We want to be eating to outsmart the system, to balance our blood sugar so that those cravings aren't as strong. Okay. Right? Cortisol, the more we can slow that down, which doesn't necessarily happen, eating is a piece of that, but there's a lot more that we need to do to minimize the impact of cortisol, to trigger our body to slow down the release of cortisol. So one of those big things for us is exercise. And burning through, right? We talk about the endorphins that come from exercise, that runner's high. A lot of those are really a lot of the neurotransmitters that help our body calm down. It can also help our body work out a lot of that stress. So my Pilates instructor a million years ago shared with me, she's an original student of Joseph Pilates, right? So she shared with me that the phrase working out first came from the idea that exercise is to work out the stress from our body.
I love
that. We're working it out.
That's brilliant. That's so good. It makes more sense now.
Yeah. So exercise is a big thing. Another key thing that we can do before we get into the nutrition stuff is breathing. And I know this sounds so overrated.
But it's not.
It's not. So here's, and we can use this trick all the time. So think about, you know, if someone walks in the room and you weren't expecting them, right? And you get scared or were taken by surprise, we gasp, right? The gasp is a short breath, very shallow, and very high in the chest, right? When we have that gasp.
Yes.
That's a stress breathing. Right? When calm breathing is slower, lower, and deeper. So to signal our body that the stressor has passed, we want to slow down our breathing, breathe deeper, and lower in the body. So instead of breathing from our chest, right, the stress breathing, you want to breathe from the diaphragm. So like if you put your hands on your ribs and think about as you inhale, your ribs expanding side to side like an accordion. So we're going in and out side to side. We inhale for 6, hold for 6, exhale for 8. So we're breathing lower in the body, deeper because it's longer, right?
Yes.
And slower because we're counting 6, 6, and 8. The other thing that you can do is sort of like a yoga breath where you're dragging the breath along your vocal cords.
Right.
So almost like you were fogging up a mirror, but with your mouth closed.
Okay.
That creates a noise. We want to make that noise with our breath on the inhale and the exhale. Breathing in this way is a chemical signal to the body that the stressor has passed, that the cortisol can calm down, right? Our adrenals can calm down. So here's what else is magical about this breathing. When we're stressed out, we're typically thinking about things that have already happened or things that have yet to happen.
All divorce.
We're all divorce.
Constantly regurgitating the past because you have to process the past to heal. And then we're concerned about the future. Even though we may have discussed everything with our spouse, we still don't know exactly what's going to happen in the future.
Typical. Okay. Right. And if you have kids, it's like, okay, I already did these things this morning. That conversation didn't go the way I wanted it to go. And then we're thinking, okay, but later today, I've got to get the kids here and get them, right? We're thinking about things that have already happened or have yet to happen.
Yes.
In breathing this way, we use one side of our brain to do the counting, the other side of our brain to concentrate on the sound of the vocal cords and the visual of the inhale and the exhale like an accordion. That requires both sides of our brains. When we use both sides of our brain at the same time, it is impossible to think about anything else. So it can bring us back to this moment and allow us that take another deep breath, right? One breath to get us back to this moment, maybe 5 to get us back to this moment. And then another to think about the next thing we're going to do. And more clearly. So you could use this every morning. You could use this anytime throughout the day where if you're sitting in traffic and you're feeling crazy stressed, you can use this sitting in the middle of a deposition or in mediation when you can't believe the words that are coming out of someone's mouth, right?
That's right.
Just sit there and breathe for a hot second before you say or do anything.
And I want to throw one more thing in the mix because I completely agree with you. I've done it myself. I get stressed. As a matter of fact, because I work in a business where people are stressed, my clients are stressed, I kind of assume they're stressed. And then I start stress eating for them. So if I have a stressful phone call and I'm fearful for something, who knows, it doesn't matter, but they've caused me to be stressed out. I run right for the kitchen in my office suite, hungry or not, something goes in my mouth.
Yeah.
And I have to be very conscious of this. I guess I have indirect stressful eating. But here's something I started doing recently because I actually had to. I really felt if I was going to survive in the divorce business, I had to learn how to, under any circumstances, just stop, calm down, refocus, mm-hmm. and move forward. Mm-hmm. And so I say, to some extent, emotional reactions are decisions that we can make. We can find ourselves getting tight and angry, and we can just say, oh no, stop. Mm-hmm. And then the breath. And then that's where the breathing comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Just take a few breaths. Everything will be dealt with. No one's going to die if we have the wrong numbers right now or whatever the issue is. It will all be okay. And it really will all be okay if you don't die in the process of being anxiety-ridden and overstressed, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And another trick for you and for anybody else out there, if you're a mediator or you're taking on other people's stress. I learned this from a massage therapist friend of mine. She takes her hand and brushes down one arm, brushes down the other arm, and it's like a physical, like I'm removing that energy.
Yes.
Almost like wiping it away from you, you know?
And you are wiping it away. I think you actually are doing that.
Yep.
Okay, that's great. This is excellent. All right, the foundation has been laid. Yes?
Yes.
Let's go into our divorce diet. Now, before you say the foods you're going to say, interestingly, when people walk into the office, it's the first time I see them. I have no idea what they're like, what they used to look like. They look like whatever they look like now.
Yep.
Then at some point, the divorce is over, and maybe they have to come back to pick up a certified divorce decree months later. They look 20 years younger. The stress is out of their face. So stress is an illness. It kind of, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, now burnout is diagnosed. It didn't used to be. We also have adrenal fatigue. That's what happens when our adrenals no longer function properly because they've been firing constantly, right? Our adrenal glands is what produces cortisol.
Because we're getting away from the tiger, outrunning the tiger. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So it's absolutely true. Stress ages the body inside and out. And so, and to the other side of that is joy and ease are the fountains of youth. We have energy and peace, and that shows in our face and it radiates from us when we're no longer living under that cloud.
Absolutely. We look a lot better when we're on vacation, don't we?
Right.
Than when we're here working. I agree. So the divorce diet is going to get us the revenge body, which will then get us joy and ease.
Right. And the objective is for the divorce diet to support our health and for the revenge body to be for forever and for our health.
Yes. Okay, perfect. So now, Jen, an expert in the field of nutrition and body function, exercise, give us a basic eating plan for the divorce diet.
Okay. Get your pens, everybody. You ready? You have it. Protein and fiber at every meal makes removing fat no big deal.
Say it again.
Protein and fiber at every meal makes removing fat no big deal. Protein is clean, lean protein. Whether you eat animal protein or not, clean, lean protein. Fiber is vegetables and sometimes fruit.
Okay,
a meal.
I'm sorry, go ahead. What,
no, that's okay. Really quick. A meal is anytime we eat. The difference between a meal and a snack is just how much.
Oh, okay. Okay. So the protein and fiber, even in our snacks, should remain forefront in our choices.
Absolutely. And what this does is it eating in this way, the protein and the fiber, gives our body nutrients to function. Nutrients to support all of the chemical processes, right? All the neurotransmitters, all the good stuff that our body needs to do. And also keeps our blood sugar balanced. So we avoid the cravings. We avoid the crash in energy. We avoid the added chaos that can happen when we're starving and we're famished. Or the other side, when we are so full, it's like, oh my God, I have to unbutton my pants. Like, I can't breathe.
And also, when we make the wrong food choices, it can actually make us rather sick at the end of the day. So we have the stress that caused us to eat improperly, but it doesn't feel good at all later on, right?
Right. Absolutely.
What I wanted to ask you was, can you share with us some vegetable protein choices for those who really don't know?
Yes. So non-animal sources of protein, is that right? Whey protein isolate, for those who are lactose intolerant, whey protein isolate, yes, it comes from whey, but the isolate does not have the lactose. So it depends if your allergy is to lactose or whey, but whey protein isolate, pea protein, amino acids.
What is pea protein?
It's a protein made from peas.
P-E-A-S, peas?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm not the biggest fan of rice protein, but it exists.
I never heard of it.
Yeah. Nutritional yeast.
Ah.
Another one. Like I almost use nutritional, I eat animal protein, but I also use nutritional yeast almost as seasoning on foods sometimes.
How about avocados?
So nuts. Avocados are going to give you your quality fat.
Mm-hmm.
Nuts give you a little bit of protein and, and your quality fat as well.
Okay.
So you do want, right, the protein and the fiber, and then 2 to 3 servings of quality fat per day.
Okay. What was the other protein, vegetable protein? Oh, black beans or any kind of beans.
Sure. Beans can be a source of protein, but they are not that efficient as a source of protein. Meaning there's a lot of starch and a lot of carbohydrate that you have to consume a lot of beans to get a proper serving of protein. Okay. So you can add beans, but I wouldn't make beans the only source of protein in my meal.
And correct me if I'm wrong, beans and rice equal a protein? Or do I remember that incorrectly? Is that a
myth? Not my favorite.
Is that a food myth?
Yeah, it's not a full myth, but it's not my favorite choice. So here's my thing on rice and grains and all of that, is that the average American eats more grain than an Olympic athlete is advised to eat on race day.
When you told me that the other day, I was blown away, and I'm so happy you brought that up again. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. We eat as Americans more grain than an Olympic athlete. So years ago in the 80s, I went to Italy with a whole group of Americans. It was Italian sons and daughters of America. Anyway, I was in shock to see that the Italians who lived there, thin, gorgeous, thin, all of the Americans were pretty much overweight.
Yeah, there's a few reasons for that.
And what are they?
First and foremost, the quality of our food.
Mm. I heard that.
What passes as food in the United States does not pass for food in many other countries. What we are allowed, yes, the chemicals that are in our food. There are chemicals in our food that turn off our ability to stop eating.
Pringles, you used yes. that as an analogy.
Right, like remember those old commercials, once you pop, you can't stop, or you can't eat just one.
Yes.
That's chemical.
Yeah. And then, go ahead, I'm sorry to interrupt.
So, no, that's okay. So it's the quality of our food is first and foremost. Our lifestyle, it goes back to that stress thing. There isn't a country out there that works harder or more than Americans. And it's not to our benefit necessarily. So it's really living in that stress response contributes to it also.
Do you think COVID has given us a different window on how to balance our lives because many are forced to work from home? And I hear them saying, actually, I got a renewed enjoyment of family life.
Yeah. I would like to think that it does across the board. I think it's very individual. To me, maybe one of the best things to come out of this is just an awareness of our health. And similarly, an awareness of our priorities, whatever that might be. I also think, though, for some, it's harder to work at home because it's always there. It's easier to leave an office and, close the door on it. But when it's home, and I live in New York City, so it's very confined, right? So yeah. It's always staring you in your face. There's always something you could be doing. And I think for some people also working from home, especially in the beginning, there was a need to prove that they were working. So responding to an email in 0.4 seconds would prove that people were working. So I hope that we're getting to a place of balance.
Well, the thing, I went to the office every day. I am an essential business. So I, plus I work alone. I live alone, cats, not kids. And so I live virtually a quarantined life until I go out and socialize, and you couldn't do that. So I was kind of quarantined. But I absolutely love coming to the office. I love getting dressed. My stock thing, because I live in Los Angeles, is always look your best when you leave the house in case you run into paparazzi. Now, I know we don't say that in every other city, but it justifies itself in Los Angeles. And then when I go home, that's my safe haven. I don't return emails. I don't even look at my cell phone at a certain point. I just do what makes me relaxed and enjoy myself at home.
Good for you.
But I want you to finish with, we, the Americans make some of the most unhealthy choices, with this other thing that you had said previous in a conversation, and that was the food pyramid you commented on. Would you share that?
Yes. So what we learned of what to eat, right? That food pyramid.
The basic four food groups, right? And how many portions you should have of everything each day. Although I didn't see pastry as a food group, and I don't know why, but please continue.
Pastries are included in the big one at the bottom, which is grain and corn.
Okay.
And it is based on economics, not based on nutrition. Because what do we grow here? We grow grain and corn. And now we grow a lot of soy, but at the time it was mostly grain and corn. So the idea was to get us to eat what we grow. But no one on this planet is grain deficient. You know, we are a country of people who are overfed and undernourished.
Oh, I hear that.
Yeah.
Overfed and so, and undernourished. Yep.
Absolutely. So the idea of protein and fiber, protein and vegetables, and sometimes fruit, is to give our body nourishment so that it can do all the things it needs to do. It can do all the things that we want it to do. And we can be on the same team as our body.
What do you mean by that?
I think a lot of times when people struggle or are challenged by food choices or their weight, there's this sometimes a battle between their head and their body. And when we eat for our health, when we eat for proper fuel, our head and our body can be on the same team and going in the same direction and working together.
And that makes us happy.
Yeah.
Okay, let's circle back again. Let's go back to the divorce diet. So protein. So animal protein, if you're not a vegetarian or a vegan, or protein substitutes. And I think if you are a vegetarian or a vegan, you pretty much know what those substitutes are.
Right.
If you want to be a vegetarian or a vegan, do you know of any books that people can research that you've read that you like offhand?
Not that I would recommend, but here's the deal on going vegetarian or vegan. And I say this to everybody across the board. Focus on what you are eating instead of what you're not.
Okay, I don't understand that. Say it a different way for me.
So a lot of times when you say, okay, I'm going vegetarian or vegan, that means I'm not eating meat or dairy. Okay?
Right.
Well, what are you eating? I know a lot of people who then subsist on pasta and rice and beans and crackers and what else? I come back to the pasta because they all eat a lot of pasta when they come to me. it's all of these other things. Well, that's not necessary. You could eat croissants all day long, although they have butter, so maybe not if you're vegan. But you could eat croissants and bagels all day long and call yourself vegetarian or vegan. That doesn't inherently mean that you're healthful. What determines our health is what we are eating more than what we're not.
So if you are really not a vegetarian. We'll go with vegetarian by choice, but just because your body doesn't break down animal protein well, how should they augment if they don't want to eat powder substitutes?
Well, the things like nutritional yeast and amino acids and, you know, even rice protein, pea protein, like there are sources for some seitan tofu, if you choose, if you're choosing anything soy related, make sure it's organic, please. Okay. Anybody soy, make sure it's organic. But it's one of those where if that's what someone's looking for, we can work within that. Again, it's focusing on what you are eating.
Okay. Okay.
So, and focusing on really vegetables and some fruit.
Would you please clarify for us the difference between fiber and grain and starch? Because I think we can confuse this.
Absolutely. I think one of the biggest confusions in health is carbs. We think of carbohydrates as synonymous with grains. Grains are rice and corn, and well, corn's technically a starchy vegetable, but it's used in a lot of things.
Corn flour.
Corn flour, right. Flour comes from grain, wheat, barley, rye, oats. Those are all grains. Fiber is in grains, but it is also the carbohydrates in our vegetables and fruit.
So that's the better fiber you're talking about, right?
Right. You can get fiber from grains, but it's relatively inefficient, meaning I would have to eat a large volume of grain for proper servings of fiber. And especially if that grain is processed into flour to make a bread or into chips or all of these things, right, that are made from grains, that's processed, which means that a machine is doing a lot of work. Fiber requires our body to do the work. And fiber, I call fiber the scrubbing bubbles of our intestines, right? We think about our immune health. A lot of our immune health is in our gut. So we need to make sure our gut is very healthy. So fiber keeps our GI tract healthful and clean.
And fiber is vegetables.
Right. Okay. Choose vegetables as your best source of fiber and sometimes fruit.
Oh, that's right.
And on occasion, right, I like to think of grains or starches, so maybe like potato or peas or beans, and grains like rice or barley. Think of that more as a condiment. Okay. In the greater scheme of our nutrition, think about those as a condiment for adding texture, adding a little a different flavor, a different kind of bite, right? But not necessarily a food group.
Okay.
And that can help us just put it in a better proportion with the rest of the things that we're eating.
You know, I do have more food in my office than I actually have in my house for this reason. Cats, not kids. I live alone. If I am left to my own devices in the house at night, I will draw a blank, go to the refrigerator for emotional support. If yep. I'm worried about something, I will eat what I absolutely do not want to eat. My body doesn't need it if it's there in the house. So my only form of self-control is to not buy it.
Sure.
Not have it in the house. So maybe for those who have to work from home, this might be a good change to make in what you keep in your house, supports your health, and your cheating can happen outside the cat house. When you venture out on your little food run, maybe you can buy a little something, eat it in the car, don't bring it in the house.
Sure. Whatever works for you, I like to avoid the word cheating. Everything is part of the plan.
Ah.
There are things that we eat more often and things that we eat less often, but everything is part of the plan. Because inherently, when we call something a cheat,
yes,
it's still maintaining that on-off, good-bad relationship to food.
You're right.
It's that, it's still that black and white thinking. And I encourage everybody to find the gray area. Live in the gray between the black and white, because that's where life can happen and our health can happen.
I really like that. I like that way of thinking, because we tend to beat ourselves up. We're very unkind to ourselves. Of course, we eat more when we feel we've quote unquote cheated. Now we cheat more.
Right.
So like that.
Yes. And for that, you know, we feel like we've screwed up, right? Think about if you went to the grocery store and on your way to the car or on your way home, you broke one egg out of your package of eggs. What do you do to the other 11 eggs when you accidentally break one?
We certainly don't break them all, right? Out of anger.
Right. We like hold on to them. We protect them. We make sure the rest aren't going to fall apart. Right?
Right.
What if we could do that for ourselves when we choose a food that's not necessarily as close to our ideal eating plan? Instead of saying, oh, you know, screw it, you know,
finish the bag
and throw, that's the equivalent of throwing the other 11 eggs on the ground. Instead, let's protect the other 11 eggs. Let's make the next best choice that we can make.
Well, what do we do with the bag of chips? So we've opened the bag of chips. It's at the end of the day. We shouldn't be eating them before we go to bed, yet we do. So we're into it. Now, what do we do with them?
What do you want to do with them?
Well,
right? So there's a piece of this. I know that's a rhetorical question, but there's a piece of this where are you, right? We use this food as an emotional crutch. So is this solving the problem?
Well,
especially, no. And especially if eventually we're going to beat ourselves up for it.
Which we do.
Maybe it short-term solved the problem and made us feel better for a hot second. And then immediately after, it made us feel worse. So the reality is it's not solving our problem in the way that we need. So we're going to close the bag, put the bag away, and figure out how to solve the actual problem. If what we need is to de-stress, right, and relax at the end of the day, what do you enjoy doing that will actually help you de-stress? Take a bath, read a book, listen to some music. You know, find something you enjoy that is not food related that actually helps the body calm down and de-stress. Maybe you could learn to meditate.
God, Jen, that's so hard.
It is so hard. So here's how you make it easier.
Okay.
You need to make a list of these things and put it on a Post-it. And then we need to put that Post-it on our computer. And we need to maybe put another Post-it on the pantry door. And maybe another Post-it with that list of things on the refrigerator. So that in the moment when we need that tool, we don't have to think. We can look at the list and pick one.
Okay. This sounds great. How about when we go to the store to actually make the purchase?
Yep.
We may have a little list of those gray foods that would be emotionally satisfying, but not devastating. How does that sound?
What is that?
Okay, so here's what I buy. I just went to Trader Joe's before I came to do this interview with you. Dried fruit.
Sure.
Dried fruit for me is like candy, but it's fruit. And if it's just freeze-dried without the chemicals, because you did teach me to read the bag, right? We have to read the ingredients. Like in the protein bars, when you were talking about this with me, Jen was saying, do the protein bars.
Oh, it's a lot. The easy part of the protein bars, you want to calculate net carbs and look at how much protein is in it. So net carbs are the carbohydrates in the bar or in the food that are going to raise our blood sugar. That calculation, get your pens again, is total carbs minus fiber minus sugar alcohols and minus glycerin. If sugar alcohols and glycerin are not listed Just don't subtract anything.
Okay, say that one more time. Say it one more time.
Total carbohydrates minus fiber minus sugar alcohols minus glycerin. We want our net carbs to be a single digit. So between 9 and 0.
Okay.
The net carbs are the carbohydrates that will raise your blood sugar. Then on the protein front, 7 grams of protein is 1 ounce. So when we think about protein for a meal, we think about it in ounces, but these packages are written in grams. So 7 grams of protein is 1 ounce. So it can give you an idea of how much you're actually getting.
So in a meal, which is larger than a snack, what are the grams in protein versus fiber?
I'm going to talk ounces. For a woman, a meal of protein is 4 to 6 ounces. For a man, 6 to 8 ounces. A snack for everybody is 2 to 3 ounces.
Okay. Fiber?
Fiber in any packaged food. You want to choose something that has at a minimum 5 grams of fiber, provided that's going to serve as a source of fiber. So what you might do is find a protein bar that gives you sufficient protein and then have it with an apple. The apple is your fiber. The protein bar gives you your protein and you have a quality snack. So okay. It doesn't all have to come from one source. You know, the other thing to think about over the course of the day, you want to shoot for a minimum of 25 grams of fiber. And or 8 to 12 servings of vegetables, 0 to 2 servings of fruit.
How does this, by the way, disagree with that food pyramid and the servings?
So what the food pyramid has on the bottom of grains, you could have none and survive and be fine and perfectly healthy.
Okay.
It has less protein than what you need. It has less vegetables than what you need.
And
the fat is probably okay. It's just that fat has gotten a really bad reputation because fat in our nutrition does not directly correlate with fat on the body. And dairy, it talks about eating dairy. Technically, everybody over the age of 7 is lactose intolerant. It's just a function of how much it bothers you. You could totally survive not eating dairy.
Okay. All right. Well, and then we have so many wonderful things like almond milk, coconut milk,
yep.
things like that in place. And they're actually quite delicious.
Yes.
So, Jen, before we get to exercise, and I want to finish with a little bit of that, what did you eat today?
I am running very low on groceries.
New York City, remember, she's in New York City.
Right, I'm in New York City. I live by myself, right? I don't have children or anything that requires taking care of. I can't even keep plants alive. So like, it's just little old me, right? Breakfast this morning, I had eggs and honeydew,
ooh,
melon, and I sprinkled nutritional yeast on the eggs for a little flavor. And then I had a snack later of a bar that has protein and fiber with my Trim Tea, which is one of my favorite whole health products. I'll send you a link. You can put it in your show notes for my Trim Tea.
Excellent.
And then for lunch, again, I'm running low on groceries and it was sort of a snack in a short time frame. I had natural peanut butter. So the only ingredient in the peanut butter is peanuts on celery.
Oh, it's so delicious.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
And then when we hang up, I'm probably going to have an apple, maybe with some almond butter or peanut butter again, because I need some groceries, right? I do have some broccoli and bell pepper and a piece of fish for dinner. That's my plan to make for dinner.
It sounds delicious. Too bad I can't come to your house because we're on opposite coasts. But
one day.
Yes, absolutely. Do you plan out, and should people at least at the beginning plan out what they're going to eat so that they don't get really hungry?
Great question. And this is so individual. Some people are planners and love their meal prep days and whatever. I am not one of those people. The extent of my planning was what from my freezer I'm going to defrost. So I happen to, I have a partnership with a company that does amazing, phenomenal frozen fish and animal protein. It's like the higher, it's like high-end Omaha steaks, but not just steak, whatever. So the amount of planning I do is that I took out a piece of cod from my freezer and threw it in the refrigerator to defrost over the course of the day. Right? Like I'm not a big planner. I'm the one where if I were to meal prep on Sunday for the week, I'm the one who opens the fridge and is like, but I don't feel like eating that. So I'll just order something.
Okay.
So I'm much better having pieces that work. So I do recommend if somebody needs to make it easy, cut up your vegetables ahead of time. Clean your fruit ahead of time so that when you open the fridge, you can grab it and it's ready. That piece of prep I can do and I'm all for. But the idea of like complete meal prep is so individual.
You know, maybe just buying everything you like under this healthy eating plan and then each day you can make
exactly.
And I loved what you said about cut up those vegetables, cut up the fruit so that when you want to go for a snack or you are running low, you're a little hungry, maybe you extended your work beyond what you wanted to, you'll make a good choice.
Exactly. Make the healthful choice easy.
Yes.
Which is to your point, what you have in your house and doing a little bit of prep. So the day that you go to the grocery store, maybe block out a little extra time for yourself to do that washing and cutting included in your grocery store time instead of finding out later that, oh, now I don't have time to do this and I don't know when it's going to happen. And then the next day, the easier thing to eat is the candy bar over the celery stick.
And then it would be time to breathe.
Right, exactly.
Okay. Now, I know we've used most of our time, Jen, on nutrition, which is the thing we all do all day long. We need to eat. But if you could just leave us in the last couple minutes with some information on exercise, and would you pull in the information about muscle, building muscle?
Yes. So fundamentally, with our exercise, muscle dictates metabolism. I think one of the biggest misconceptions about exercise is the importance of cardio and cardio for weight loss. But cardio is great. We need to use our heart as a muscle, but we can use our heart as a muscle without having to be on an elliptical every single day.
Good, because I hate that.
Right? I know. I don't run for anything. So build muscle. Muscle dictates metabolism. Muscle allows us to keep the shape of our body and create shape in our body while we get lean and healthy and fit. And really, you want to burn more calories while you sleep and while you sit and while you do nothing and while you relax on the couch. That is all muscle.
So give us an exercise. So what are the muscle building things we can do?
Anything resistance training, whether it's using your own body weight or hand weights or machines, if you can go to your gym, building muscle is resistance training. So a proper exercise plan is using your heart as a muscle for a little bit of cardio, resistance training to build muscle, and stretching to make sure it's functional muscle, right? So if we can't reach, if we're so bulky, we have so much muscle, but we can't reach our arm over our head to put something away on a high shelf, it's not functional. It doesn't matter that we could lift 8 million pounds, right? So we want to make sure we're including all three. You can use your heart as a muscle. For example, push-ups.
Oh.
Push-ups are resistance training.
That's right.
Lunges, resistance training, but it gets your heart pumping as a muscle.
That's true.
So we don't have to run and do what we typically think of as cardio. The other side to that, though, is that intensity changes the body. So if what you're doing is walking, walking can be great, but walking alone may not change the body. Unless maybe if you're walking, maybe do some intervals of speed walking or maybe walk backwards, right? We need to use different parts of the body, different muscles in different ways
or when
so that we stay functional.
Right. Or when we're walking, if you could find an area that has hills.
Yep.
Right. Because that's where I walk in the morning. There's a park near here, near Fox Studios, and it's all hills. It's a neighborhood, so it's safe. Animals, yep. People, all the way around. But that, my heart pumps at different points on the walk, and then it calms down because it's flat. So,
yep. Hills create intensity.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay, this is great. We could talk about this all day.
We could.
We're running at the end of our time. Please tell our audience how they can get in touch with you.
Absolutely. So easiest is probably Instagram. My handle is at JenTrepek, JenTrepek. The podcast is Salad with a Side of Fries. You can find us on your favorite listening platform, wherever you're listening to Conscious Uncoupling. And of course, my website as well is BetterLifeNowLLC.com.
Okay, BetterLifeNowLLC.com.
Yep.
For Instagram, which everybody's on Instagram now. Of course,
right.
I'm late to the party, so I'm now on Instagram. So you are at Jen, J-E-N-N, Trepek, T-R-E-P-I-P-E-C-K. P-E-C-K. Sorry about that. I had it written
That's okay.
Different ways. And was there a third way to get in touch with you?
Just the podcast also is a, you know.
With the Side of Fries. So yes. Now, interesting how we can access podcasts. Go on Google. Isn't it that simple? I know you're on a lot of platforms, but Google will produce any name for the podcast. And I don't think you can look for podcasts under the host's name. I think you really have to know the title of the podcast, right?
It makes it easier with the title of the podcast.
I am so happy you joined us. I love you.
I adore you.
Well, thank you. No, I've learned a lot from you, and you're just an endless joy. You're one of the happiest people I've met, and it's probably because of what you do for a living. You actually walk the walk and do the talk, and you just are a gloriously beautiful person. Thank you so much. Jen.
Thank you. You're so kind. I love chatting with you, and I'm honored to be a guest here. So thank you for having me.
Well, you've helped us. So you have been listening to Constructive Uncoupling, the podcast devoted to amicable divorces. I'm Judy Weigel, your host. You can reach me at my email address, Judy, J-U-D-Y, at constructiveuncoupling.com. Judy, J-U-D-Y, at constructiveuncoupling.com. Please have people, your friends, subscribe to this podcast. We upload every Wednesday, and I love all of you for joining us. Take care, and we'll talk to you next episode.